cover Alaska politics, and there's this moment from a U.S. Senate hearing on climate change and the Arctic that I can't get out of my head. It was 2015, and the hearing was chaired by Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski.
Good morning. We will convene this morning's hearing on the Arctic.
A trio of Alaskans are at the witness table to talk about development in the far north. They tell the committee that climate change and shrinking sea ice is bringing havoc to the state, but also opportunity, maybe new ways to explore for oil and gas. The moment that grabbed me comes near the end, when then-Senator Al Franken sums up what he's heard.
This new warmer Arctic, he says, it's the result of climate change, right?
One of the witnesses says yes, and she says a lot of that is due to burning fossil fuels.
Okay, so we have a bit of an ironic situation here, do we not? I think everyone sees that the burning of fossil fuels is creating opportunity to find more fossil fuels to burn.
It is obviously ironic, yes.
Yeah, it's funny how ironic it is. It's hilarious.
And then Senator Bernie Sanders puts a finer point on it. He points out that the Alaska witnesses, like Senator Murkowski, want more oil drilling, but they also want help with the challenges of climate change, like the enormous expense of moving Alaska Native villages to save them from erosion. And then Sanders calls the Alaska witnesses out, calls Alaska out on this paradox.
Some of you, at least, are in favor of more production of fossil fuel, which is ultimately destroying the very communities that your people live in. That does not make a lot of sense to me, in all respect. What am I missing?
The witnesses, the Alaskans, try to answer the question, and so does Murkowski.
I have taken the perspective and an approach that economic development and opportunities for the people who live and work and raise their families there is not inconsistent with ensuring that we are good environmental stewards. And I think
Murkowski did not have a snappy response. A lot of other Alaska leaders can duck a question like that because they reject climate science. But Murkowski doesn't avail herself of that out. And politicians from blue states like California and Oregon, well, they can just rail against fossil fuels. But Murkowski is from an oil state. Plus, she chairs the Senate Energy Committee. She's got a significant role in shaping national energy policy. Meanwhile, she, more than most Alaskans, sees how climate change could devastate her state. She sees the damage already. On climate change and so many other things, Lisa Murkowski finds herself in the middle. Hello and welcome to Midnight Oil from Alaska's Energy Desk. I'm Liz Ruskin. This is our second season. We're calling it The Big Thaw. Last time we looked back at Alaska's 50-year history with oil. This season, we're looking ahead to one of the biggest challenges facing the state now, climate change. In this episode, the Murkowski Conundrum, how a U.S. senator from an oil state handles the central paradox of her home. Our livelihoods and our economy are tied to the production of fossil fuels, but burning fossil fuels is warming the planet. I work in D.C. as the Washington correspondent for Alaska Public Media, but I grew up in Anchorage, and I worked as a journalist there. I've reported on Murkowski since her very first election to the Alaska legislature. And let me tell you, just when you think you understand her, she defies expectations. She's a diehard supporter of oil and gas development, energy in general. Other than that, the thing that seems to define her most is her moderation. She's an extreme moderate. And that takes different forms. Sometimes she's a bridge between opposing factions. Other times, it's like she's on both sides of an issue at once. And sometimes she seems marooned in the middle. But in the Senate, she's managed to turn her moderation into a political superpower. You see it with the battle to confirm a new Supreme Court justice, all this interest in how Murkowski will vote. That's because when her colleagues know she could be with them or against them and the vote is close, what she wants matters. You can also see her superpower at work in those two votes that put her in the news so much in 2017. First, it was health care.
Murkowski, with Senators John McCain and Susan Collins, sank the Republican bill to repeal Obamacare by voting with the Democrats. Then came the Trump tax cut bill. Republicans needed a win. They needed Murkowski. And they put something in there they knew Murkowski couldn't turn down. ANWR. That is, opening the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Murkowski showed Republicans they couldn't take her vote for granted, and she got ANWR passed. That's a victory that eluded Alaska icons like her father, the previous Senator Murkowski, even the mighty Senator Ted Stevens. And on climate change, it's like Murkowski's pulled off a magic trick. Her Alaska audiences see that she's embraced the facts of climate science. To Alaskans who want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, she's a hero for speeches like this.
We're seeing changing weather patterns, increased erosion, changing migration patterns of the fish, of the game, and other subsistence, and we know is happening resources across the world. Climate change is real. Climate change is real.
That's Murkowski at the annual Alaska Federation of Natives conference in 2017. And she says things like that a lot. Republican politicians usually don't, especially not in Alaska. The state's other U.S. Senator, Dan Sullivan, likes to say the science isn't settled. But look a little closer at Murkowski's position on climate change, and, well, here's Tiernan Sittenfeld of League of Conservation Voters.
Unfortunately, when we look at her votes, they really paint a very disturbing picture of someone who wants no part of helping to solve the climate crisis.
Critics say her words endorse the reality of climate change, but her deeds don't match. League of Conservation Voters gives Murkowski a lifetime score of 11 on climate issues, out of 100. Mother Jones magazine once called Murkowski a climate double agent. But which side is she really on? Is she a pragmatic Republican trying to nudge her party toward climate action? Or is she ultimately an advocate for oil and gas, who uses her willingness to talk about climate change as a way to shield the fact that she won't act on it? If you want to figure that out, it's important to know this is part of a pattern in her political life. Lisa Murkowski and five brothers and sisters were raised in a series of Alaska cities where the economy depended on the state's natural resources. She was born in Ketchikan, a city that was thriving on timber from the country's largest national forest. She graduated from high school in Fairbanks when it was booming with construction of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline. Then, in 1980, the year she graduated from Georgetown, her father, Frank, got elected to Congress. Lisa went on to law school and then moved back to Anchorage, and no one was too surprised when she ran for office herself. She got elected to the State House in 1998 as a Republican, of course, like her father, but it was clear from the start she wasn't the same kind of Republican her father was. There were even whispers among Democrats that in her heart of hearts, Lisa was actually a liberal. And conservatives complained the most Republican thing about her was her name. The best early example of her not staying in one political lane is abortion. It's an issue that has plagued Murkowski from the early days of her political career.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been advised not to speak on this issue.
This was back in 2002. Murkowski was a state house rep from Anchorage. Her fellow Republicans wanted to tighten the limits on Medicaid-funded abortion. Murkowski was chewing a toothpick, mulling her options out loud.
I've had all kinds of good political counseling. But if I speak out on this, if I vote the way that I believe in my heart and in my conscience and in my training that I should vote on this, it's going to be politically damaging to me.
Murkowski said she pictured herself telling a constituent she'd voted to block funding for abortion.
But in my heart of hearts, I know that I wish that I had not, because I felt it was unconstitutional, but I had to do it anyway because I had to get through a Republican primary. No, Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to do that. And I may have a very short-lived political future here, but you know, I've got great kids and a good husband, and I'm going to have a good heart, and I'm going to stand up for the Constitution, and I'm going to stand up for the women of the state of Alaska, and I'm going to vote no.
It was quite a speech. You'd think after taking a stand like that that she'd picked her side. She was clearly committed to abortion rights. But no, she has zigzagged right and left on the issue ever since. Her first year in the U.S. Senate, she voted to endorse Roe v. Wade. Yet she also voted that same year with the anti-abortion side at least 5 times and co-sponsored a ban on a form of late-term abortion. Neither camp was pleased. In the 16 years since Murkowski's rousing speech in the State House, pro-choice groups have rated her poor to great to everything in between. So have the pro-life groups. It's like Murkowski swims from bank to bank, searching for middle ground, even on an issue that famously has none. And that Republican primary, the one she fretted about in the speech in the State House, turns out it didn't matter. Not in 2002, because that year her father became Governor Murkowski.
But with my new role under the law, I must not only relinquish my job as your United States Senator, but appoint a successor.
And the successor he chose, his own daughter, Lisa Murkowski.
And I pledge today to live up to the high expectations and the trust.
It struck a lot of Alaskans as nepotism. They called her Princess Lisa. But she went to Washington and worked hard at the job. And she became known as a tireless champion of the oil and gas industry, which makes sense. Alaska is an oil state. In some years, the state got 90% of its revenue from oil production. She won re-election in 2004. And then, near the end of that term, she got her first big chance to act on climate change. Murkowski is one of the few Republicans in Congress now who goes out of her way to talk about climate change and says we need to reduce emissions. The issue wasn't always so partisan. There's this goofy ad from 2008. Nancy Pelosi and Newt Gingrich are sitting outside on a love seat in front of the Capitol.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
It wasn't just Gingrich. Back in the mid-2000s, Republican senators like Richard Lugar and Lindsey Graham called for climate action. John McCain made it part of his 2008 campaign for the White House.
John McCain stood up to the president and sounded the alarm on global warming.
In 2009, it seemed like a bill to limit greenhouse gas emissions had a real chance. That summer, the Democratic-controlled House passed a cap-and-trade bill. That's where the government would put a limit on greenhouse gas emissions and let industries buy and sell the rights to send CO2 into the atmosphere, with the idea that if it costs money to emit, companies would cut back. A bipartisan group in the Senate was working on a compromise version, and Murkowski must have seemed like a natural to join their efforts. For years, she'd called climate change a problem. She acknowledged Alaskans were already seeing the effects, and she called reducing carbon emissions the right thing to do. But she wasn't on board. 2 years prior, she had sponsored a bill that included limited cap and trade, but now she had a different emphasis.
When we talk about what we're going to be doing to reduce our emissions, we also need to be stressing our energy independence in this nation.
And the key to energy independence, she said, is increasing domestic oil and gas production, along with renewables and nuclear power. A reporter tried to pin her down in a 2009 C-SPAN interview. What if a bill expanded nuclear power, offshore drilling, and renewables, and capped carbon emissions?
Would you vote for it?
It depends how the cap and trade piece is structured, because I have...
She wouldn't be pinned down. Murkowski does passionately support money for energy innovation, but what she has always resisted is a tax on fossil fuels or any regulation of carbon that she says would damage the American economy.
We're not just going to be able to shut the whole thing down and say, well, this is what we have to do in order to save the planet.
In other words, Her climate solutions are all carrot, no stick. And really, who likes sticks? Murkowski says raising the cost of energy would hit especially hard in Alaska, where fuel and power prices are already in the stratosphere. And incidentally, where the oil industry provides the revenues that pay for roads and harbors and schools and jobs. Also, I have to say, a lot of Alaskans see no irony in being for more oil production, in Alaska, of course, and at the same time sincerely believing in the need to cut carbon emissions. Climate change has dumped a ton of expensive problems on Alaska, and the state's money to solve those problems comes from crude oil. Oil pays the bills. As one of my Alaska friends put it, what else are we going to drill for? In the end, the 2009 cap-and-trade bill fizzled in the Senate. And in the decade since, no carbon regulation bill has gotten anywhere near the finish line. And Murkowski hasn't pressed for one. In fact, when Obama's EPA moved to regulate carbon, she led a charge to defeat it.
It would reduce emissions at an unreasonably high cost and through an unnecessarily bureaucratic process.
As she saw it, it was a threat from the executive branch. Pass a cap-and-trade bill, or the EPA is going to come down on the economy like a ton of bricks. She didn't like it. She went on to oppose Obama's Clean Power Plan, which would force electricity producers to emit less carbon dioxide. But she never disputed the science. She continued to say climate change is real.
It's pretty clearly, for a decade now, just been talk.
Joe Rome writes a climate blog. He's a former deputy secretary of energy from the Clinton administration. He says Murkowski's carrots-only approach is not a solution because it's too slow to prevent catastrophic warming.
And every time she's had a chance to actually take some serious action to deal with climate change, she has either done nothing or been an outright opponent.
Rome says Murkowski seems to be following an old Republican playbook.
The way to sound like you care about the climate but don't have to do anything is to say that the solution is innovation and not regulations. And the problem is climate change is an existential threat.
He says if limiting or taxing greenhouse gases would hurt the economy, letting the planet warm out of control is even more expensive, with all the wildfires, storms, and real estate lost to the sea. In other words, Rome says climate change is an issue where extreme moderation won't do. What we need, he says, is real action. And to him, that means limiting greenhouse gas emissions. After 2010, support among Republicans for regulating carbon just dried up. Remember that Pelosi ad with Newt Gingrich? Here's what he was saying about it a few years later.
Well, first of all, it's probably the dumbest single thing I've done in recent years. It is inexplicable.
Why the change of tune? One answer is President Obama. Climate change was a priority for the Obama administration, and Republicans were in no mood to help Obama achieve his priorities. Also, the Tea Party. In 2010, moderate Republicans found themselves in tough primaries with challengers who pulled them to the right. And that happened to Murkowski, too.
You've also made public statements that also affirm that you are a true believer in man-made global warming.
Back home in Alaska, a Tea Party-style challenger named Joe Miller painted Murkowski as a liberal, wrong for even accepting what climate scientists say. She didn't insist climate change was real in that debate.
Are you flip-flopping or what's the deal?
No flip-flopping at all. I worked very hard, very aggressively this summer, in fact, to ensure that we did not have a cap-and-trade policy.
She was the 8-year incumbent in a seat that had been in the Murkowski family for 30 years. She had the support of the energy industry and millions to spend. Joe Miller was a conservative firebrand from Fairbanks. It was his first statewide race, and he was outspent 10-1. But in the August election...
This is the shocker. In fact, Joe Miller is leading in the Alaska
Colossal Senate. Upset in the making. Lisa Murkowski is a member of the Republican leadership.
All of us were pretty stunned. No one was even focusing on it. I didn't even see Joe Miller's face till today. I don't think
Miller won the Republican primary. It was shocking. So was seeing the leadership of the Republican Party, both state and national, ditch her and flock to Miller. Then, 46 days before the general election, Murkowski rose from the political grave.
I get the message. I hear it loud and clear. And I announce today that I will be a write-in candidate in November for the United States Senate seat that I now hold. We're in this together.
A write-in candidate with a name like Murkowski. Yes, everyone had heard it a million times, but it has 9 letters. The campaign gave out rubber bracelets with her name on them to help with the spelling. She reached out to the political middle and the left, rural voters, Alaska Natives, and the state's big Native corporations, moderate women, unions, and Murkowski pulled it off.
Now to Alaska's historic Senate race. With just a handful of votes left to be counted, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says she has won a new term.
You might think Murkowski's unorthodox win would have liberated her, because she proved she could win without any backing from the party. But in some ways, it tied her hands even more. Anchorage pollster Ivan Moore says after that crazy 2010 race, Murkowski is obligated to stay moderate.
She cannot be absolute in her opinions and her behavior, either one way or the other. She has to, by definition, obfuscate to some degree and try and keep both sides off her back.
It's the moderate's dilemma.
Yes, it is. It's terribly difficult.
Moore says it's like she's walking on top of a fence, throwing red meat to satisfy fierce dogs on the right, then tossing more meat to the hounds on the left. And he argues it's not sustainable. Moore points to those 2 famous votes she took in 2017. After Murkowski helped kill the Republican drive to end Obamacare, Alaska's liberals were elated, literally celebrating her in the streets.
Thank you.
Lisa!
Then Moore says she infuriated them by voting for the Trump tax cuts.
Tell you what, liberals, Lisa Murkowski, 70% positive, plummeted down into kind of 30% positive. I mean, it really, the bottom dropped out on the left. And I'm not sure that tossing another piece of meat over on the liberal side is going to bring that back.
And conservatives, plenty of them are unhappy with her too. Several Republicans resigned as officers of the state party rather than support her when she won the GOP primary in 2016. But those are the party activists. Enough Alaskans apparently are, like Murkowski, somewhere in the middle, because she easily won her last election. I talked to Senator Murkowski often, but couldn't get her to sit down for an interview on climate change. I'm not really sure why. But I did have a colleague find her at an oil and gas conference in Anchorage and ask her whether she might support cap and trade again, or any policy that seeks to put a price on carbon. Murkowski says a national policy raising the cost of energy would be bad for people in Alaska villages, like the struggling mom she met who already pays a fortune for heating oil.
I can't go back to her and say, for purposes of a national policy, I'm sorry, we're going to have to increase what you are paying.
So she didn't exactly say no, but bottom line, Murkowski isn't pushing to regulate CO2. So if that's how you define taking action on climate, no, she's not doing it. She does not support taxing or cracking down on carbon. And let's get real. Aren't most of us doing more or less the same thing? Even if we worry about climate change, most of us still drive and fly and heat our homes with fossil fuels. Most Americans don't want a climate correction stick brought down on their lives. Rather than make dirty energy expensive, Murkowski would like to make clean energy cheap. And in theory, that works, right? If renewable energy becomes cheap as chicken litter, we'll give up on coal and gasoline. The thing is, How long will that transition take? Because the planet is warming and the Arctic is thawing now. Murkowski may sincerely believe we can make headway against climate change without clamping down on carbon. Or maybe she's just not willing to go that far. To tax the oil industry that keeps her state afloat, to boost the price of power and risk making America a more expensive place to live? I don't know. But based on what I've seen of Lisa Murkowski over 20 years of interviewing her, listening to her speeches, and getting her to explain her votes, I'd say she's trying to keep her balance. On our next episode, fishermen in the Gulf of Alaska are adjusting to the lowest cod numbers on record. Is this a preview for oceans around the world as the water gets warmer? That's next time. You've been listening to Midnight Oil from Alaska's Energy Desk. This episode was edited by Annie Feit, Jennifer Pemberton, and Rachel Waldholz. It was mixed by Dave Waldron. Special thanks to Rasha McChesney. In addition to the voices you heard in this story, we had help from Ethan Berkowitz, Richard Cowan, Suzanne Downing, Mead Treadwell, and an anonymous source or two. You know who you are. Oh, and C-SPAN. I love you, C-SPAN. If you like what you hear, please consider rating this podcast. If you're listening on NPR One, tap Interesting to help others find the show. I'm Liz Ruskin. Thanks for listening.
Support for The Big Thaw comes from the Leedy Foundation and from listeners of KTOO Public Media in Juneau. Become a sustaining member today at ktoo.org. Thank you.